You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalms 105. Psalms 105. My subject today, the word tried him. God will give you a word, and then when that word doesn't come to pass, that word will try you. That word is like a sharp, two-edged sword. It tries you, the promise God has given, and then it anchors you to the bedrock of faith in God's word. So I want to talk about the certainty of God's word and God's promises today. Has God made a promise to you that has been locked up for years? Anybody there? Have you ever waited and waited, still looking for the fulfillment of that promise? If that is you, I want to welcome you to the world of faith. Welcome to the world of faith. God's word is true, and it will come to pass if you will just hold on to what God has said. Hold on to the rope of faith and bind it tighter and tighter to the bedrock of God's word. Hallelujah. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes, and the amen, or let it be, it is spoken by us to bring glory to God. So while you're holding on to the word, while the word is trying you, while you are anchored to that word, just know one thing, that God is at work and God is working for you. So hold on. Psalms 105, I chose that as a text because it begins as a psalm of thanksgiving, singing, and giving glory to God. And that's exactly what we've been doing here today. It talks about the covenant that God made with Abraham. So the Bible says if you be Christ, then you are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Whatever God promised Abraham, that belongs to you. Because the Bible says if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I want to look at Psalms 105, begin reading in verse 8 here. It says, he remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. So just reading those two verses right there, we see that God is a generational God. And when you get connected to the Most High, then your seed is connected. They got to be born again. But God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved in your household. He said, I'll call your children from the land of the enemy. He said, I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thy offspring. There's some pretty powerful promises right there. So just hold on. If you've been praying, that child's still wayward and out there and acting crazy, they coming in. If you'll just keep on believing God. Somebody give me a good amen. See, God made covenant with Abraham. Later he told Abraham, your seed or your children, that they're going to go into bondage in a foreign land, and they're going to be there for 430 years. This is the man that got the son of promise. This is the man that God said, your seed shall be like the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. The stars of the heaven, that represents you and me, the spiritual. The sand of the seashore, that represents natural Israel. But Abraham is the father of the faith. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now look at verse 17. In verse Psalms 105, verse 17 here, he is talking about Jacob and his family. And he's talking about Jacob's son, Joseph, the seed of Abraham. Look at Psalms 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in irons. Now, here's what I want you to see. Psalms 105, verse 19. Look at this. This is powerful. Until the time that his word came. Now, if you got a new translation, it says, until his word came to pass. Until his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried, oh, brother Joseph. Guess what? It tried Abraham. And guess what? The word will try you also. Are you going to hold on in faith, or are you going to give up on the promise? The word of the Lord tried him. In other words, his faith was tested. See, Joseph got an incredible promise from God, but his faith was tested. When you get an incredible promise from God, how many of you? I've got some incredible promises from God, some things I'm holding on to. Hallelujah. And they will come to pass as long as I believe. Amen? As long as you believe and keep confessing those promises. If you would put Mark 11:23 up there. I want to show you something. You get a word from God, and through faith, you hold on to it. Mark 11:23. Jesus is talking. Jesus said, "For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall..." What's the word? Say, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." That word "believe" is in that one time. That's where your faith comes in. "That whatsoever he saith shall," two times as "say." Do you see that? "Shall believe that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith." So right there, I want you to see the power of confessing God's word. One time Jesus said "believe." Three times he said "say." In other words, you got to say something. You got to open your mouth and you got to begin to decree, "Thus saith the Lord." God made me a promise and I'm holding on to the bedrock of God's word, and it's going to anchor me because I have faith. I have faith in God. Matter of fact, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. That's whose faith you have. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." God gave you a gift called faith. You could not even been saved without that gift. And God saved you. Hallelujah. But you had to believe something in your heart, and you had to confess or say something with your mouth. We believe Jesus died. We believe he rose again. And when we said that and believed in our heart and said something with our mouth, we were born again. Amen. That's how you get the promises of God. See, Joseph had an incredible promise from God, but his faith was tested. Abraham had a word from God. Joseph had a word from God. Do you have a word from God? But the word of God tested each of these individuals. Let me tell you something about faith. When you get a word from God, that word will be tried and tested over and over again. And that's when you've got to hold on with all your faith until you receive the promises of God. My subject, the word tried him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the praise, the worship. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. Thank you, Lord, that your word, Lord, is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Your word, Lord, is precious. And thank you for giving us the word of God so we would have something to anchor our faith to. And we praise you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing to preach this sermon. Give us a listening ear, and the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, God made some tremendous promises to Abraham. And when he did, he took an oath in his own name, since there was no name any greater to swear by than his name. God bound himself with an oath so that future generations who would receive the promises of God, that they could perfectly understand and be perfectly sure that God would never, never, never change his mind about his word. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You've got to believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and confirm it here on earth. "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews 6:18. Talking about God. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation," a strong word of encouragement. "We might have a strong word of encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. See, God made some tremendous promises to Abraham. God promised him that he would bless him again and again. That's why I love those testimonies here. We just have testimony, blessing after blessing that has flowed into the people's lives here at Westmoreland. God promised to bless Abraham with a son and to make him the father of a great nation. Abraham waited patiently until God finally gave him the son Isaac. Look at him. He's 100 years old. His body is dead. Now, when he was 75, he was able to reproduce a child called Ishmael. But now he's 100, and Sarah's 90. She's all been over. Amen. And death was rolled in on the promise. I mean, it's impossible for this 100-year-old man and this 90-year-old woman to have a baby. God said, I tell you what I'll do with that promise. I'm just going to roll death in on it. And when it's, you know, it's absolutely impossible for you to do it, I'm going to show up and I'm going to resurrect that promise and I'm going to give you that son of promise. Go on, praise God. When death is rolled in on it, know this, God is going to resurrect that promise. Look at Romans 4:20. I love this about Abraham. God told him, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at Romans 4:20, please. He staggered not, talking about Abraham, at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He got this incredible promise from God, and God swore by his own name. Amen. God said, there's no one greater than I can swear by, so I'm giving you my oath and my name. We've got the name of Jesus. And when God has highly exalted that name, given him a name above every name. Glory to God. So God bound himself with an oath to Abraham so that Abraham would be sure and Abraham would never wonder if God had changed his mind about the promise he made to Abraham. God also had given two things that he could count on, his promise and his oath. So first of all, it's impossible for God to lie. So he said in his word, this is what I will do. Hallelujah. That's wonderful right there. If you would put up Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. See, the Bible says that here in Hebrews, it was impossible for God to lie. But look at Numbers 23:19. I don't have those in the notes. I'm just following the flow. Okay. It says, God is not a man. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? So you're going to have to take the word. The word will try you. It tried Abraham for 25 years. Hey, Abraham. God even changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And every time somebody comes by, hey, Abraham, how many children you got? Father of many nations. 5 years, none. 10 years. Hey, Abraham, father of many nations, how many children you got? 10 years. None. 24 years. Hey, Abraham, father of many nations, how many children you got? None. 25 years rolled around. Guess what? God resurrected the promise, and that little boy showed up, praise God, and we're sitting in the house of God because Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. And church, we need to get strong in faith and full of God's glory, full of God's power. Turn your faith loose and watch your faith work for you. So first of all, it's impossible for God to lie. Secondly, we can lay hold of the hope of the promises of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I just quoted it. God gave him a name above every name. And his word is sure, and his word is a trustworthy anchor. Now, think about Jesus. Jesus Christ has gone before us into heaven itself. He has pleaded our case with God, put his blood on the mercy seat, and now he has guaranteed our position in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I love to think about that mercy seat and his blood. And see, when he placed that blood on the mercy seat, he made his grace available to everyone. What a testimony. I was the black sheep, but I came back and God took me back in. Hallelujah. See, his promise is universal, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we got this thing going on right now, Black Lives Matter. Well, they do matter. White lives matter. Red lives matter. Yellow lives matter. God so loved the world. I'm not going to be politically correct for some of you out there. I'm going to tell you like the Word of God says. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God loves everybody, and praise God, we should love everybody. I fought a war in Vietnam, and I tell you something, I learned that blood runs red. My black brothers and my Hispanic brothers and my Oriental brothers, I tell you, when they died, they ran red. And I loved them, and I learned to respect them, and I learned to love God and respect people. When I got born again, I got a real love for people. I'm glad that this church is about 20% black, African American. You have to be careful how you say things. Everybody in here knows I love you. I don't care what color your skin is. I got the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and that means I love everybody. Praise, go on, praise God. God is no respect to person. That's what the book says. So get over some of this stuff. If I had acted the way some people act, I'd have got me a fifth of Jack Daniel's shot up and got drunk as a skunk and never made anything out of my life. They spit in my face. They denied me entrance into the world of education. They wouldn't give me a job, but I said, I'm not going to let people do me like that. I'm going to rise up and make something of myself. And I did. And praise God, one day I went to Calvary and God made something of me. He said, follow me and I'll make you. Glory to God. I said, he'll make you. He'll make you. Get over what has happened in the past. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. David committed adultery. God did not take that out of the Bible. Our nation did some wrong things. We don't need to take it out of our history. How did I get on that? Because God so loved the world. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So no matter what the storm you may be going through, God's word is true, and God's word will bring you out. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in storms, and we say, how in the world can I make it? Well, I got good news for you. No matter how big the problem, no matter how great the storm, if you will put God's word in your heart and confess it with your mouth, if you will trust in God's word, God will bring you out. I could have just stopped, but I read something by George Washington Carver, a black man that came out of slavery. He said, start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it and never be satisfied. We've got to preach the truth. We've got to get over these things that are going on in our culture, and we've got to love everybody and let everybody know you are important. You are created in God's image, and I just choose to love you no matter how you feel about the situation. I made a choice, praise God, and I'm going to be what God called me to be. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love people created in God's image, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Jeremiah 23:29. God said, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. There is no rock that can take but so much pounding. It may be the biggest rock you've ever seen. It may actually be a mountain. It may be the toughest rock you have ever encountered. It may be the hardest rock you have ever faced. But if you will keep pounding and pounding in that rock with the right tools, I promise you, any rock will crumble. So keep pounding at the rock or the mountain that's in your life with the Word of God. God said, my word is like a hammer. It will break the rock in pieces. Hallelujah. And if you'll just keep pounding the word of God against your mountain, it will crumble. Keep speaking to it. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe you can achieve something. Believe in others. Believe in God. Believe in the goodness and the mercy. Believe that you can make a difference. And guess what? If you'll stand up, you can make a difference. Hallelujah. Go and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I said you can move any mountain. Now, I remember years ago driving through the Smoky Mountains. I was stationed out in California, and they had not cut those interstate highways through that end. And the mountains were massive, but there's no rock that cannot be moved. No rock can take but so much pounding. And if you hit it long enough with the right tools, it will crumble. Now, I'm talking about a natural mountain now. See, today, there are interstate highways that run through those Smoky Mountains. When I was stationed out in California, I had to drive Interstate 40, and it was a long haul. But some engineers went in there to those Smoky Mountains with the right tools, and they just kept pounding and pounding away until they cut an interstate highway through those mountains. God said, my word is just like that, no matter what mountain you're facing. He said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. See, life has setbacks. Life has disappointments. I mean, everybody has a setback. Everybody gets disappointments. Life has storms. We all face storms. But don't let the storms and the circumstances of life become your focus. Focus on what God has said. Focus on the word of God. Hallelujah. God says, if you need help, ask me, and I will help you. I want to eat it sometime. Doesn't that look crazy? Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jensen Franklin, a good friend of mine on national TV, his face broke all out. And he was ashamed to go out and face people. And he took scriptures and put them all over his wall in his room in his house when he was a little teenage boy. And he quoted them and he quoted them and he quoted them and he quoted them. He said, one day, Jerry, he said, I took it off the wall, one of them, and I ate it. I got scripture for that. That words were found and I did eat them. You want some joy? You heard Sister Kay's testimony. Get into this book. She got addicted to the word of God. She said, I read it and I read it and I read it. And then I read it and I read it and I read it. Well, say it and say it and say it. And then say it and say it and say it. I walked that walking track. My heart was all messed up. I said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I said it and I said it and I said it. And after I said it some more. They did quadruple bypass. Half of it shut down, but God bypassed my heart the last time. I said it and I said it and I said it. And I just kept on saying it. Hallelujah. I believed it in my heart and I confessed it with my mouth. And that's how faith works. So just start saying what God says. Go on praising. Hallelujah. Focus on God. Now look at Psalms 33 with me, because I'm going to preach about praise. I'm a praiser. And I'm going to preach about praise until people get this principle that praise is a weapon. I said praise is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. Couple it with some praise. Look at Psalms 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Are you upright? Are you living right? Are you the righteous of God? Sure you are if you're born again. Look at verse 2. Praise the Lord with the harp. Cooper, sing unto the Lord with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Oh, when God gives you a gift, use it for God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Sing unto him a new song. Pray skillfully with a loud noise. Woo! Let's make some noise. Come on. Shout hallelujah. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Glory. Glory. Church, we are told over and over again through the Word of God, through this Holy Bible, to praise God no matter what we are going through. Glory, glory, glory. We have a hope. We have an anchor. It's the Word of God, and it is steadfast, and it is sure. Hallelujah. And you have an enemy, and he's called the devil. And he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Suit up. Put on the whole armor. And realize your position in Christ. You have authority in Jesus' name. You are who God said you are. You have what God said you have. You can do what God said you can do. And we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Hallelujah. Just get into the book and renew your mind with the Word of God and take God's Word as the anchor of your soul. Hallelujah. In Psalms 56, David was in the battle of his life. He's in a big mess. And it looked like curtains. It looked like it was all over for Brother David. But he cried out unto the Lord. Look at Psalms 56 and 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they meet many that fight against me, O thou Most High. I like that phrase, Most High. Abraham, the father of the faith, he recognized God as the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and a deliverer from every enemy. Now, here is David talking to God, reminding him that the same God of Abraham, you're my God, and I'm in a battle. Do you see it? And he says, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. That's beautiful. I love that, because the devil will try to convince you that if you're afraid, you cannot have faith. But I want you to look at what David said in Psalms 56:3. The very next verse, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. See, fear tries to grip our hearts, all of us, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. God is a good God. David said, I'm in a great battle, God. I'm struggling to survive. And on top of all of that, O Most High, fear is trying to grip my heart. David said, but what time I'm afraid, Lord, I will trust in you, my Lord. Look at the next verse, Psalms 56:4. In God, I will praise his word. Whoa. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. See, David's telling the Lord, he said, God, oh, Most High, he said, I'm afraid. I'm sorry that I'm afraid, but I'm struggling for faith, and I'm going to trust in you. David said, I will praise the word. Have you ever stopped to praise God for his word, a promise he has made to you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for that promise. I praise you. And see, when you're at home, you can do it like this. Glory. Nobody to criticize you. Glory. They say, you've been over to Westmoreland. That pastor's crazy. Why, he just dances all over the place. Well, he put a pep in my step. You don't have to praise him like that, but I'll tell you one thing. I have one lady, she said, Pastor, she said, I lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I prayed for to get a job. I said, go home. Nobody looking at you. And praise the Lord. I said, just get crazy like I do. Just get radical and dance all over the place. Nobody to criticize you. She come back to church and she said, I did that. I got a new job, Pastor. She said, nobody was there, but I just took you at your word and danced all over the place and God gave me a job. God will fight your battles if you will praise him. Go and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, David praised the Lord and then David recovered in his faith. Praise will help you to recover in your faith because you get your eyes and your focus off of the problem and get your focus on the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He trusted him. He praised him. And even though he made some tremendous mistakes, he knew and he realized the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What a great nation we have. Let's make it a greater nation. Let's tear down some barriers. Make it a point, brothers and sisters. Make it a point to love people. Make it a point to go out of your way. Open the door. Everybody's different. We're not the same. But that's what makes America so great. I learned that in the military. And then when 30-year career in the business profession, I learned that the talents and the abilities of all of those people, when you take, they call it a melting pot when I was growing up, America, the melting pot. We've got cultures from all over the world. We're not going to get mixed up in their gods, but we're going to love people. We're going to teach them about our God, Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the great I am, hallelujah, the God who can do anything, the God who said, call upon me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things, hallelujah, glory to God. David said, I will praise his word. I have put my trust in God. David, the failure. David, the adulterer. David, the murderer. Experienced God's amazing grace. And he became a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine being a king and everybody knowing what has happened in your life? And you're ashamed. But in Psalms 51, he cries out to God, and God restored him. He said, I'll teach others about you, Lord, if you just have mercy on me. Oh, the love of God is rich and pure. It's so rich it'll drain the oceans dry. He's a good God, and he loves you. Now, I chose this text, these verses in Psalms 105 for a reason. I chose him because many times, just like Abraham and just like Joseph, we get a promise from God that does not manifest itself right away. And when you get a promise like that, you've got to hold on to the word of God because the word will be tested. It's not the devil. The word God gave you, God is looking for faith. And he is saying, will you hold on to what I have promised? Will you hold on and believe through the storm? Psalm 105, it began with thanksgiving. I love that. It began with singing, and it began by giving glory to God. But it also talks about the covenant that God made with Abraham. So let's look at it again. Psalm 105, verse 8. He remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. That includes us. Hallelujah. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. God promised Abraham a son. He's 75. No son. 25 years later, when Abraham was 100 years old, Abraham's faith was tried. The word was tried. Have you ever been there? I have. But later, God told Abraham, and said, your seed is going into bondage for 400 years, and it happened just like God said. During this time, even though the children of Israel were few in number, God took care of them. He even reproved kings for their sake. Look at Psalms 105:17 again. He sent a man before them. He's talking about Jacob's son, Joseph, even Joseph, the seed of Abraham, who was sold for a servant whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in irons. That man's put in prison. Here's what I want you to see, though. Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time his word came, until the word of promise was fulfilled, the word of the Lord tried him. It tried Abraham. It tried Joseph. It tried some other great men of faith and women of faith. And guess what? It will try you and me too. Joseph had a word from God, and that word tried him. He had been given two dreams by God of what his life would be like. And you remember his dreams. He saw sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. But a lot of stuff happened before that dream was fulfilled. And it was the promise of God, the word of God, that tried Joseph. He had to have something to hold on to. His brothers turned against him. They sold him into slavery. When he reached Egypt, he was bought by a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar had a beautiful wife, and she tried to seduce this young boy named Joseph. He would have nothing to do with her. He maintained his integrity. She lied on him. He was thrown in prison. But the word of the Lord, no matter where Joseph was or wherever you put him, the word of the Lord, it held him. It acted like an anchor through the storms of life that that man went through. Can you imagine your family turning on you? Can you imagine being sold into slavery, taken off into a foreign land? Can you imagine being thrown in prison? But he held on to the word of God. What I want you to see is this. Sometimes we get a word from God, and we're tried by that word, and our faith is tested. But the word will not fail. It cannot fail. It will never fail unless we let go of the promise. The Bible says that the trying of your faith is more precious to God than gold that perisheth. And after you've done the will of the Father, you shall receive the promise. What is the will of the Father? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, woo, of those that diligently seek him. I read that Bible, and then I read it again, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. You don't know how much good that does for this pastor right here to know that you got a hold of the Word, and the Spirit of God moved in on your heart, and you started reading your Bible. 26% of this church reads their Bible through every year. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, too many times we get a word from God and we just let it go. The devil shows up. He said, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. He's a lying devil. God is always working. He's working for you right now. Sometimes his ways are behind the scene. But let me tell you, God always works on the scenes he's behind. Glory to God. The devil will tell you, well, he'll taunt your mind. He said, you thought you heard from God, but you didn't. Ever heard him tell you that? Why, you're too weak. You don't have enough faith. God has healed others, but God will not heal you. God has blessed others, but God will not bless you. God doesn't do miracles today. There's never been a day of miracles. There's a God of miracles. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You need to memorize that. Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ, if you've been born again, then you're Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. And every word of God belongs to you. Every blessing in this book, it belongs to you and it belongs to me. See, the devil is a liar. Jesus said when he speaks of a lie because he is a liar and the father of lies. But I got some good news. God is faithful. Faith is greater than fear. Love is greater than hate. Good is greater than evil. The blessings of God are greater than the curse of God. Is there a curse? Yeah. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says, Deuteronomy, you can go home and look this one up. It talks about all the sicknesses being the curse of the law. And then it says in Deuteronomy 28:61, and every sickness and plague that's not named in this book of the law. And then when you go to Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, it is written, it is written. It's a promise of God. It is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Woo! Glory to God. You've got faith. It's a gift of God. Start saying what God says. Start reminding God. Say, I believe, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it. That's how you get things from God. The word may try you, but let me tell you something. The word is true. Any problem you have, you can set it up against the word of God. And if you refuse to let go, if you will keep pounding and pounding and pounding away at that problem, that mountain in your life, I promise you, it will crumble. Jesus promised that, so I can promise it. Hallelujah. Your mountain will move. Jesus said, if you will speak to that mountain in faith and tell it to move, it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Hallelujah. The commandment of God, they're all true. I thought about Dagon, the god of the Philistines. They took the Ark of the Covenant and they carried it into their temple and set it up and locked the doors. And they come back the next day, they came back and they picked up the Ark of the statue of Dagon, rather, and picked it up and put it back in its position. They went out. You know, I don't need a God that I've got to pick up. I need a God that can pick me up. They came back the next day, and that thing had fallen over and was broken in pieces. And they picked it up again. Hallelujah. See, that Ark of the Covenant, the mistake they made, that Ark represented God's presence. And when they carried God's presence into that place, that false god fell over. They had to pick him up. The word of God, this is God's word. Read it. I guarantee you'll find his presence. I don't need a God that I've got to pick up. I need a God can pick me up. Pastor Ricky. See, the word will not fail you because God cannot fail. The word will try you, but don't let go of God's promises in the midst of the battle. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you fail not. Let us stand. Hallelujah. The word tried him. Glory.
How great.
What a great God.
Is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great. Is our God. Oh, we'll sing how great. How great is our God. How great.
Glory.
Is our God.
We love you, Lord.
Sing with me how.
Lord, I'm going to ask you to accelerate.
My God.
Accelerate and restore.
How great.
Move mightily, Lord, on some of the things you've promised the people under the sound of my voice. The word tries us, Lord, but the word acts like an anchor that anchors us to the bedrock of your word. And after we've done the will of the Father, we shall receive the promise.
How great is our God. Name above. Name above, oh name. will sing,
how great is our God. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? I am. I love the corporate anointing. I love those beautiful voices singing to their God. I love God's church.
How great is our God.
Most beautiful people in the world. God's got some strange kids, but they're still His.
How great is our God. Sing with me.
How great is our God.
And always sing.
We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for making it possible for us to know the Father. Glory.
Oh, how great is our God.